You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 5. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. God, deal with us according to your grace, your awesome person. Thank you. Spirit of God, where would we be without you? So do what you do. Only you can do it. And we'll thank you for your grace and kindness, even now. In Christ's name, amen. You would recall, as we have over and over again reminded ourselves, that before anything is created, was created, including angels, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost made an awesome decision, a declaration, a determination to glorify themselves. No one else can glorify God except God, because he alone is God. And everything else is less than God, other than God. So only God can honor himself. Now, in the light of that, in the light of God's magnificent person, God, you determined to glorify yourself, and you determined to create in your wonderful creativity. And before you even began with angels, you went and determined that you, God the Son, would go and become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world before there is any. Now, God, you determined before anything. You knew you'd create angels. You knew wonderfully so that Lucifer, son of the morning, would do what he did, and have a whole host of angels against the good guys and the bad guys. You knew that. And you also knew the solution to that, to honor yourself, was to go and create man in your image and likeness. And you did that. And you knew man was going to go. He would make a choice. All of us have choices, always choice. And we'd make Adam and Eve made a choice, and they disobeyed and took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and died spiritually. And you knew that. But before any of that, God, none of that could happen if you hadn't determined the solution before you ever began. So you went, God, and made Adam and Eve, and Adam in Adam, or all the humans that you created them, and they're in your heart and mind way back here. And you created Adam, and you knew Adam would fall, and you knew that all of the physical beings that are going to come, humans, out of Adam, are going to come along, and those humans that are going to come along out of Adam are going to be in a great need. They need a Savior, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. You already had it all set up. Now, so out of Adam, all of us come physically, and you give us all a wonderful person inside of us, this body, physical body, brain, blood, brawn, bone. You give us a wonderful, wonderful privilege of being alive as a person that lives inside this body. Wow. So now, over to Romans chapter 5. Now, chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, by Adam, and death, Adam died spiritually, and everyone born by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So now, here we are looking All of us, to say it, verse 12, all of us are born physically, and we are dust. Dust we are, dust we came from. Dust the ground, we're going to go back to the dust of the ground. So as we look at ourselves and physical bodies and as whatever attractive and as you would want to see yourself, you are dust. And the hands, your dead skin is going to keep falling off. All the parts of your body are replacing themselves, all those cells, and they're just going. It's just the way we really are. We don't want to think about it, but it's where we really are. Now, so in the process, is that body is replacing and keeping itself alive by getting rid of all the bad cells and everything and creating new ones. And we live inside of this body now. And we're in a state of death. Now, so that doesn't sound good. So we need to have life. God, you've made it possible. Therefore, over to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, may I pick up, please, in thought, Romans 8. And you would recall we made, in the title, sliding down to verse 21. The all of creation is waiting for God to finish his wonderful plan. Christ died on the cross to redeem, to restore, to make everything right. Where does the problem start with? It starts with humans. Where is it going to be resolved? With humans. When humans are made right, everything benefits. All of creation is subject to humans, subject to sin. That's why animals do, and birds and everything lives and dies and eats and everything. Wow. That's what we do. Now, we're waiting. The system is waiting. Verse, waiting for what? 8 and 21. I'll read verse 20 to get the little context. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So the only way the system can have a new heaven or new earth, even a millennium, where the lion lays down with the lamb. You can't have that till God does his wonderful saving grace. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and into what? Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So everything is hinged upon and looking at us humans. And us humans, here we are, and in bondage to sin, no matter how we cut the cookie, our body is wearing out. The time clock, your heart was meant to beat in the mind of God so many times, and the heart, everything, God's program. Here we are, bumbling along like the rest of everyone else that was ever born, and we're just going to go, and God moving along. We're subject to sin, death, sin, sorrow, and suffering. We're caught up in it. There's no way out of it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God, you've done something wonderful then. I've made it possible for you who are born and dead in trespasses and sin, you who are guilty, I'm going to die on the cross and make it possible for you to have an awesome, awesome, awesome relationship to me. And that's what you've done, God. The glorious liberty of the children of God. God, that's what you did. Now hang on to that, because if you were living in the Reformation, in the days of great turmoil in Europe and everything, and you were living there, and you had the kings and potentates and everyone were ruling like we did a little bit in Sunday school, and you're looking to be able to get to the Bible. You have a printed Bible, and you're able to have that. You're able to read it and think about it personally, so that you're going to go not to the buildings and not to the people in power. You're going to go and open that book and come to God directly. You're going to read what God said. Now, when they take that away and persecute and kill and do everything, you know, after a while, You're looking, and lo and behold, the opportunity comes up to cross the ocean, the pilgrims, etc. And what are they going to do? Why are they coming? Because they've been moved by reading God's word. Hang on to that. So here we come over. And in the process of this, we're coming over and looking, and then we're doing. So as we come, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to come and look to God and Governor Bradford and all of that. And they're going to go what? And look to God. They're going to open the Bible. It's all about God. Oh, it doesn't mean some of the people on the ship are not saved, but that's all right. They're all coming. They're all coming under the banner and guise, like the Exodus out of Egypt. The Exodus out of Egypt is for Israel. The mixed multitude comes because they can escape and all kinds of reasonings they have, but they aren't going with them because to meet God at Mount Sinai, they aren't doing that. The pilgrims come, and the pilgrims generally and mostly at this point are looking to God. There are other people that join to try to get, for whatever reason, out of Europe, etc. They come. But the lead, what's leading them? What's motivating them to be able to land on a piece of ground, to be able to have a little house and a little garden, and to be able to look up to the sky at night and the sun by day and the flowers and the birds and the bugs and honor God, to know God? That's what it was all about, to have a unique, wonderful relationship to God. That's what they read. That's why they read. So as they come, as they go, what are they reading? They're going to read the Bible over and over again. They're seeking God. They're seeking God. That's what they're doing. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit and seeking God, would you go over with me to pick up back a little illustration to get us there? Over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. What do we know? Deuteronomy chapter 4, Israel's great assignment, remember, was to be a witness. Israel, God's nation, to be a light to all of the nations of the world, Genesis 10. So now, when I come to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I should say, and verse 6. 4 and 6. And in 4 and 6, their assignment. Keep therefore and do them, God's word. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation, Israel, is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Israel had a unique relationship in personally an understanding of God, and they were to show that light to the world, to the nations. That's their assignment. Hang on to that thought. Now, in the process of hanging on to that, sliding over, if I can, to verse 20. And in chapter 20, but the Lord hath taken, remember now where they're coming from, the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as you are this day. So they are to have a unique, wonderful position and purpose. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, verse 29. They're going to be in trouble, but God made provision for all of those things in his person and work before the foundation of the world. So when we come to chapter 4, verse 29, and if from the scattered, verse 27, and they serve other gods, verse 28, verse 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And when thou art in tribulation, which they will be, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, etc. God, the Lord God is a merciful God, for he is one. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, which he sware unto them. So God, verse 29, if you seek me, you're going to be in trouble, you're going to get way off, and the world isn't going to be, you're going to be in the world in a way you wish you weren't. And you are not going to know the wonderful liberty of the children of God. You aren't even going to know what that is. You're going to lose it. Right now, you could develop it, but will you? That's the question. So, in the light of that, chapter 4, or if it would now, in the light of that, here they are to develop all these wonderful things. Now, over if you would please to Psalm, remember now they're going to go, and they if they seek God, they have to find it. If you were a pilgrim, if you were in the founding of our country, would you not? You're reading your Bible. What do you know? The purpose. Here we are, bunch of people from Europe and all of that, and under the system, religious systems of the day, in particular, the one that's there, Roman Catholicism. In the light of that, we're under that. And we're looking. What are we here for? We're here what? To seek God. That's right. What are we doing seeking God? What are you saying, Governor? Governor Bradford? We're to be a little light on the hill that people can look from all over the world at us and see our little light on top of this hill and know that God is God. That's what Israel was supposed to be as a nation. But they didn't do it. Now, over to Psalm 27. But they know they seek God. Uh-huh. That's what they did. So here we are on planet Earth, and Israel was to give that message to seek God with all their heart. They didn't do it, and the world doesn't do it. World system. So in Psalm 27, picking up in thought, if I may, and if I can, verse 7, David, help us. 27:7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Hast thou been my help? Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And by the way, God, when my father and my mother forsake me, then will the Lord take me up. Wow. Now, God, what there? So here's Israel has forsaken God. But God tells them if any Israelite would seek God, they could know God was there to be found. David, what do you know? Well, here's King Saul and all of those different things, and everything is David has a struggle because he's trying to look to God, and the people generally aren't seeking that. So here's David looking to God, and he said, when everyone forsakes me, and he had that occasion, when everyone forsakes me, God, you're there. Uh-huh. Now, if I'm a pilgrim and I'm there in the founding of the country, and for 156 years before 1776, I am going and absorbing this. We go to church all over the 13 colonies. I'm absorbing this. I'm absorbing. So what do I know? There's an awesome God to be found. Not to be missing, but to find him. Now, therefore, David, you understand that? Is God always to be found? Yes, no matter what, you can find him. Over God, you're going to assure us of that without any question. Over to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. In chapter 11, Hebrews, picking up in thought, and easy thought, you know it. Hebrews 11, if I can, in verse 6 to say in this great chapter on learning by faith to trust God. Verse 6, 11, 6, you know it. Without faith, it is impossible. Remember, faith is what we all have. Faith is where you exit any dependence on yourself, your thinking, your feeling, your power, your anything. By faith, you reach out in totality to someone or something else. That's what faith is. That's why everyone has it. Because it isn't trusting something in a person. It's trusting something out of a person. It's found elsewhere with a great God and Savior. That's where it's found. So we can seek God. That's right. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Deuteronomy 4:29. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is. He is. He is. He is God. He just plain is God, no matter how you cut the cookie. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, earnestly, to seek, earnestly, search out, seek him, that seek him. God is a payer in full, rewarder. You seek me with all your heart and you will find me. Now, if you were over here in America, the founding of that country, and here's the French and Indian War, as we shared earlier in the Sunday school and that, and here's England, British rule, military, taxes and everything, all of that, and they're moving, and we don't want a king, we don't want to be under the pharaohs and the Caesars and the kings, we want to be under God. And that's what they've been reading. Now they're all wound up about God. Oh, there's many that aren't, but the general mood of the nation is that way. Now, and God, which God? The God of the Old Testament? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. That God. The God, our Lord Jesus Christ. That God. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so God, your word is solid, safe, sure, secure. Your eternal person is awesome. You are the creator. You are the savior. We are to rely upon you. We are to rest upon you. We are to trust you with all our heart. The world system, its governance, and every queens and kings and all of that, they aren't going to do that. They don't want to do that. They aren't interested in that. And you remember, without taking time, and I don't take time, back over in Deuteronomy, what did you tell Israel before they even had a king and you knew they would have a king? The king that becomes your king, make sure he reads the book and writes, copies what's in the law. Make his own copy of the Bible every day to be your king. He'll never make it if he doesn't do that every day. Copy the Bible. Copy it. Wow. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking. And God, you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. And as our system proceeds down the corridor of time, we have the rise of democracy coming into play. People like to not talk about we're a republic to which it stands, one nation, indivisible, under God. We don't want to talk. We don't want to talk about republic. No one thinks republic when you hear, compared to what we should. It is a republic. That's what it is. And we share together in Sunday school, they hate. Democracy is most horrible of all governments, is democracy. And democracy leads to socialism, communism. It's the only logical way to go. Now, from a human standpoint. So now, having said that little bit, and we're all under, we're captives to sin. We're the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, you don't have to turn there. Like a little illustration, here on this side, over here, is God's word and work and what he's doing. And over here is the enemy. That's why we're here, for the enemy to see, to learn from us humans. Here's Satan and his host. And the big contest, the big controversy, as it were, coming to answer. Can they survive the lake of fire? Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, so here we are going up here. Wow. God on this side, the devil on this side. And everyone is on one side or the other. There is no middle ground. We're all there. So Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, you are under the prince of the power of the air, your old nature. Your old nature, Galatians 5, 19, is idolatrous. Your old nature is in rebellion. So your old nature is incurable. That's correct. It isn't going to be right. God, what'd you do? What are you going to do with that lousy old nature we got from Adam? I crucified it. Before the creation of the world, I, the Lamb of God, died on the cross to take care of it. Or you would have never been created. You would have never been on planet Earth if I didn't have a solution for you. I would have never let you be born. So God, here we are, looking. And the world system's there doing it, and we're caught. We're the one side or the other. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter whether you own a green car or a red car. It doesn't matter about anything. You're one or the other. Either I know God or I don't. Well, that's the way it is now. It doesn't matter how you cut the cookie. So now, here we are going. And God, what are you going to do? Well, you're either on one side or the other. And the Lord said that, if you would, over in John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17. And you will know, please, if I may, verse 14. This is the last words of our Lord before he goes out to the garden and crucifixion. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. For they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So God, when you do a wonderful thing, what did you do? You deliver us from bondage to the glorious liberty. Well, what on earth is glorious? I've saved you from this side to that side. I did it. That's awesome. Do you understand? There's bondage, death, sin, suffering, sorrow. I took care of it and saved you in a marvelous way. The glorious liberty. Hang on. Well then, all right. Go with me, please, over to pick up that thought so you have it. Over to James. James in chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. And you will note, James chapter 1 may pick up directly in the light of the context. Verse 25. Whoso looketh, looking, examining, whoso looketh into the perfect, complete, full, wanting nothing law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So as you keep looking, remember the Bible? Before we crossed over, we were able to have a copy of the Bible. We have a Bible in our hand. What are we doing in America? We have a Bible. A Bible. Hang on to that. A Bible. That's what we got. And as we look, that's how we learn about Israel. We learn about seeking the Lord with all our heart. We learn about everything. We're dead in trespasses and sin. We learn all about it all. As we read, and we look in, what is it doing? It's helping us to think right, feel right, do right, come out right. Wow. So God, here we are looking. And that's what they did. That's what they were doing. That's how you got your declaration. That's why you have your declaration. Hang on.
Over what? Here's the liberty. I'm looking, looking. Now I want to take that a step further. The glorious liberty, and the liberty as I look into the God's word, perfect, wonderful, full, complete. God's from God's point of view, God understands it all, God knows it all, and we may not, but we're going to believe, and God puts it all together for us now, and it's up to him to do so. Over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 8. John and chapter 8, picking up, please. Now, what else do we know, this glorious liberty? If I can, in verse 30, as he spake, John chapter 8, and in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, and you may or may not, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, truly, indeed, for sure. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's the word liberty. Free. The glorious liberty, the freedom. Freedom, hang on. Now, and you're going to do that. Now, sliding down, and they want to know what this freedom is. They thought they were free, but they weren't. Sliding down to verse 36. And the servant, verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, verse 36, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So I'm looking at the Word of God, and we know without turning in all these wonderful things, God to tell us, the Scriptures, the Lord said, Luke 24 and that, search them, for you can't. It's all about God. Genesis is about God. The Revelation is about God. All about how God has moved out sacred history in the midst of secular history, all of it outworking itself in an awesome way. Now, and in the light of that, and therefore, the truth will set you free. Verse 32, the Son will set you free. The glorious liberty of the children of God, the perfect law of liberty. What am I reading? As I read God's word, I come to grips with God. God is free. God is liberty. It's all about enjoying God's wonderful domain, his holy, awesome person, his heaven. Wow. To enjoy God, liberty. The reason you were created, the reason God, even before you were ever considered being, he's thought of you, considered you, and made you, wow, to know him. That's awesome. Wow. If you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. Now, so therefore, having said that little bit, over if you would to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. So God, where are we going to look? We're going to look at your word, and it's all about you, and you are the Son. If the Son will set you free, truth will set you free. Wow, reality, not make-believe, not make-believe. No, make-believe, we got lots of make-believe. We got a lot of things we make-believe about, but we can't sustain them, support them, or make them real. All you can do is believe them and make-believe. You can enjoy a whole life of make-believe and never get to reality. Now, so herefore, 2 Corinthians, and if I can, picking up, please, in verse 17. 3 and 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, remember now, I'm going to read a little bit of context to give you the mood of that a little bit. Remember, verse 14, their minds were blinded until the day, because the Israel would not honor God, would not look to God, even at Mount Sinai, they wouldn't understand. And they said, all that you say, God, we will do, which we were incapable of doing, but we didn't realize it. Now, so the mind, their minds were blinded. Verse 15, even unto this day, when Moses is read, they read the Bible, the veil is upon their heart, because they won't honor God in his wonderful, magnificent person. They won't do that. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. He's God. And they just will honor him in Christ Jesus, who's God. Therefore, verse 16, nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away, blocking their heart. When they turn to God and seek God with all their heart, they're going to find him. Nevertheless, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? How can you be in the presence of God and not be in the presence of liberty? Not bondage, free. You're free. Free. Reality. Rightness. Real. Right. Wow. Now, and therefore, if we're that God, we look at it, that's what we're doing. That's what they did. The movement, the mood. Verse 18, what does it do to us? 18. 3 and 18. But we all, with open face, no covering at all, no veil, beholding as in a glass, looking in the perfect law of liberty, like a mirror, the glory of the Lord. As we look, we see God, and we are changed from image into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So as I keep reading, I keep getting influenced. I think like the Bible. I want to feel like the Bible. I want to run with God. I think. I know how God thinks. You see, most people don't know. They all come and go and do what they do. That's what they do. Churches fits in, church doesn't fit in. But it isn't part of it. It isn't about what you want to do is see the earthly light in the light of heaven. So as we, I'm telling you, there's serious about God is very, very hard to come by because we're Christians, more Protestant than we are, than we should be. We don't protest much. Now, so therefore, we're changed. That's right. Now, God, and they were going to be, hang on, over if you would, to Matthew. Matthew and chapter 6. What would they know? At chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Without faith it's impossible to please me. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, anxiety, divided mind. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we clothe? For, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek. They seek. That's what we're trying to survive, aren't we? We want our job, our health, our wealth, our vacations, or whatever. We want to survive. On whatever terms it takes, that's what we want. That's what the world does. But when you seek God with all your heart, the world's trying to make it work without God. And it won't work without God. It doesn't work. Because all we have is more and more turmoil in the world, heading for tribulation without a question. Wow. We aren't even solving it. So now, God, here we are looking. So therefore, we're going to look to you. And when you do, verse 32, and after all these things do the Gentiles seek? For your Father, Heavenly Father, knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, if you honor me, you will find out what a great God I am. But if you don't honor me, you'll never know. We'll be religious up to our eyeballs even. What good's that going to do? Occupy your time. Wow. Now, one other place, if you would, over to 1 Thessalonians. God, you're going to take care. That's what they're going to do. 1 Thessalonians. And if I may, picking up in thought, in chapter 1. Now, here we are looking in chapter 1, and God, how do they get saved? Chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. I mean, you got really saved. Most people have a belief that doesn't save them. They talk about, I believe this and I believe that. But if it doesn't change your life, and besides, the bottom line, either you have the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior in your heart, or you don't. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath no life. It can't get simpler than that. Without Christ in your heart, you could be a canary, whatever. No, that's a silly thing. You can be whatever you want. But when either God's in your heart or he isn't. Is he or isn't he? Then, therefore, verse 9, what happened? And they got wonderfully saved. For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what they did. They came all the way over and they read the Bible. The influence was huge. And they all, generally using that in a good way, believed. That's how you got your constitution. We don't want the king's rule. We don't want Britain telling us what to do, telling us to believe like they believe. No, we're going to believe like God says to believe. That's what we're going to do. And that's what they did. Now, how are they going to say that? Verse 10, and they're waiting, for the Son out from heaven, the Lord's return, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So God, how are you going to do? They're going to go. Britain pushes them. The Battle of Lexington is the volley, the 70 up there. And here comes all those military British up there, marching up, and the 70 of them took them on. That is the volley. The shots that started the Revolutionary War. That's where it took place. Wow. In Lexington. Wow. Now, God, here we are. They're waiting. So, God, we're looking to you. And they did this. So now, quickly, here. Now, this isn't the original. The original declaration is preserved somehow in some super-duper vault, glass, protected, but between for disease, aliens, and everything, protected from everybody, protected. And this is a copy of it. A copy. It looks more like a copy than your copy does. Now, if you can understand, here we are sitting here, and it's because of this document that's based on seeking God. And remember, we said John Adams, the second president, said, this is made only for moral and religious people. This is only made for people that honor God. This is not made for any other government. That's why this republic is never going to be repeated anywhere. This is it, and you're it. Now, Israel, waiting. But here we are in these United States in God's awesome, awesome wisdom and allowance. We formulated this document to honor God as a nation, to honor it. Wow. And out of it, so that we don't have the original, we're able to have a copy of the Constitution and Declaration, this little book. This is it. You can have a copy. You put it in your pocket. You have it. You have this by this. Do you understand? Now, but what happens? Think of Sunday school. It's all disappearing. As we become they don't want this. What are we going to do? Well, we have this. But if they don't honor it up there, when people do it, what good's it? If you aren't going to honor it, you judges and rulers, if you don't honor it, senators, what? So God, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go and what? We're going to go what they did before they ever had this. And they ever had this. They have the book, I hope, that's in your hands. You may not have a Bible, but you might. That's what you have. That's the foundation. Do you understand? This is because of the foundation. This is because to remind you of what the foundation is about. And the book in your hand, the Bible, is what they had. And no one takes away from you the foundation. The book. Can you hold some of it, unless you have a big Bible? You can carry the Bible, can't you? And the Bible gets heavier, doesn't it? It gets heavier. But you know what? It isn't that I'm carrying the Bible as much as it is God carrying me. Do you understand? We're resting on the foundation. We're resting on the book. That's what we're doing. And God gave the book, and God understands the book. And he didn't ask me to be a genius or anything. He just asked me to believe and trust and rest in the book. And the book holds me, holds you. While you hold the book, to remind you, the book holds you. That's why you got this declaration. And it isn't a church game in and out of here. Come on. If it isn't more than that, you don't have anything. Come on. You want to be in the ship and pull the oars and row. Otherwise, Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. Deal with our heads and our hearts. God, we keep looking for everyone to conform and to want to, everyone do things to, no, God, we just have to draw a circle and stand on it and let you do a wonderful work in our heart. We're to be believers, to be believing believers, to be believers that have been delivered into the glorious liberty that you have made possible in Christ Jesus. You have made us free. Free to honor you. Free to grow. Free to know. Free to fumble through life and come out victorious. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Help our country. Deal with us all. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.